this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Good morning, everybody. I greet you all in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you expectant today? Well, there's a few people over here. Let's try it again. Are you expectant this morning? That's better. Can we give an amen? Oh, come on, come on. Amen! Well, the warm-up, I know that. I just had a wonderful time in this beautiful part of the world. It's just been awesome. I've been in the ministry a long time, and we've got very much a traveling ministry, and we work extensively in Central Africa and North Africa, and not that we haven't been overseas, but you know what we saw at Atlantic City, what we saw in Clements's Kreiskerk Theater on Friday, what we saw in Lotus River, Jesus is alive, man. You know, when you step out and exercise that faith, He meets you. He meets you every time. But it's by faith. And it's what I want to talk about this morning before we start praying for people. It's my favorite subject. It's the book of Hebrews. It's faith, Sharon. A lot of people have phoned and a lot of people have asked me. We started this last year. We were ministering up in Johannesburg. And Uncle Fergus, what do we need to bring? Well, you've got to bring two things. Belief and faith. Because without it, nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. I spoke yesterday from the book of Mark in chapter 5 about the lady with the issue of blood. She was so desperate, man. She was so desperate. If I just touch him. If I can just touch his hem, I know I'm going to be. She was so, who is desperate today? Who is sick? Who needs their body to be healed? Who is so desperately ill they've come from, I don't know where, but you came today. Not because of a man coming to preach, it's because Jesus Christ is here. The Holy Spirit is going to move just now. You know, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the God we serve. That's the God that... It's just amazing what the Lord can do when you put your faith and trust in Him. This started last Friday for this season. We started in Soweto. Then we went into Boksburg again. And then we flew to this beautiful part of South Africa. He's omniscient and He's omnipresent, man. If you'll just have the faith and just the belief. If you'll just trust Him. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Hope is for a couple of weeks' time. Faith is for today. Faith is today. Things happen today. He hears our petitions. He hears our prayers. I want to just, that little box. When we kicked off in Moroleta Park last year, Carl and I, they didn't have any boxes. We forgot to bring one. So they had a big thing. I think they put water in it or something. So we emptied the water out. And people came up and started to fill in their requests. Why do we do that? I'll tell you why. We live in a different world. We've got family all over the world. Amen? I've got twin daughters. Beautiful. My darling girls live in London. I pray for them every day and I Skype them every second day. And I'm going to see them on the 3rd of December. People have got family in Australia and Canada and America. I don't know, man. New Zealand. And if they're sick or they're ill and you want to just pray, you want to make sure. Go up there just now. There's paper and pencils there. And just write out what's on your heart. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to pray over that box. You're not going to disturb me as I start to minister now. If you got it, if the Lord's touching you now, because I want to pray over that box before we close this meeting. Come up and write and put it in there and go and sit down. Doesn't worry me. Baby's crying. I mean, the ministry that we have, people in markets, people are, you know, it's just so awesome because it reminds me so much of what Jesus must have seen and experienced as He walked into towns. We've just come back from 3.5 months up in northwestern Kenya on the Ugandan border in the Aberdeen Mountains. And this time my darling wife came with me. She's not a good traveler. She doesn't like to travel, Aaron. She says, "No, Dad, this time I'm coming with you." So I said, "Yeah, man, we're driving, eh? It's 5,000 Ks one way." She says, "No, I'm coming." I said, "Okay." up we went. Well, geez, she's a brave lady. Eh? One wife, 38 years. I've got 4 children. I've got a son who's a pastor. I've got 2 beautiful twin daughters in London. And I've got a son waiting for me in heaven. He's waiting for daddy to come home. There's 2 things I want to get across that line, because there's 2 things I can't wait for. And then one is to see my master, to come before him and bow before him and give him all my love and just say thank you. The other one is there's going to be a little blue-eyed boy standing behind him, and he's waiting for dad to come home. He's going to welcome me into heaven, my little boy. That's the faith I have. That sounds like rain, doesn't it? I love it. That's just a, maybe a cough. That's your prayer answered, man. Just sang healing rain, didn't you? And that is why, when I start to minister in a minute, that is why I believe, because I believe, because I believe what we saw up there. There ain't no doctors up there, and there ain't no hospitals. But there's another doctor we go to. That box. Just use it, man. Somebody wanted me to just expound a bit. In Potchefstroom Rugby Stadium, the pastors made 3,000 handkerchiefs. Small square hankies, Pastor. And we had them in front of the altar. And we invited the people, we prayed over them, anointed them, and then we asked people to come up here and take them. They were gone in 5 minutes. They were posted all over the world. And the reports that came back were phenomenal. Yeah. Why? Well, let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 12. So that even the handkerchiefs or the aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. That's Paul. And as I was reading this, there's a lot of people I've got to thank, and I'm not going to, because I'm going to forget somebody. I just love that team that the Lord put together for me. Because I'm very, very, Fraser and I are very strong on not traveling alone, because the Lord said go out in 2s. Well, he sent me more than 2. He sent me a wonderful bunch of people from all over South Africa. And as I was reading here in my prayer closet, we just moved into a new little complex in Johannesburg, and the first thing Joanne does, she makes a prayer room for me. That's the first thing the house gets sorted out. My armchair goes in there with my music, and I get left alone in there. It's the most important part of our house, that room. So I'm reading here, and the Lord takes me across to Acts 18, down to verse 9. Now this is my friends I'm talking about. It says here, now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. He spoke to Fergus or Carl or whoever. Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent. For I am with you. No one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Told me I have many friends in Cape Town, and I have many friends here. And he sent many angels ahead of me to protect us. And that's how we walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. You receive that. So I'm just asking you, that's by faith, that's all. That's it. Well done, lady. Carry up there, go up there and stand in the queue right now. The scripture the Lord's given me for these meetings is found in Exodus chapter 15 from verse 26. Those have got your Bibles. Open your Bibles. Check on the pastor. I say that to our people up in wherever we go. I say, just get the Bible open and make sure he's reading the right word and he's bringing the right word, because there's a lot of skabengus out there. We're not going to have any snakes stuck down your throat today, so don't worry. There's no show, there's no theatrics this morning. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, okay? And an anointing and a gifting of laying of hands. That's what's going to happen this morning. There's no time for games, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is not on his way. He's just about here. There's no time anymore. Jesus showed me that up in Kenya. He said, Fergus, just get their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, man. Then we'll worry about coaching them and teaching them and building. Then we'll worry about get their names in before I come. Time is that close. It's that close, man. It's not just old men talking. It's young guys come and sit with me. They talk to me. Uncle Fergus, well, I said, I don't know, but it's close. Just look what's happening in the world. Right, let's read the scriptures. I love scriptures because I can't go wrong. From verse 26, it says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I've brought on the Egyptians. That's the infidel. That's the unbeliever. For I am the Lord who heals you. That's a direct reference to His Hebrew name, Jehovah Rapha, which means I am the Lord that heals you. That's who we go to. That's who we put our trust and our faith in. Talking about faith today. So we'll just go over there. I've already quoted that scripture. Go to Hebrews, please, 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It's nice. I want to go up there. That's lovely, man. I love activity. I like movement. Most of our ministry is in marketplaces. If we're not having a crusade in some little town or dorpy, wherever we are. And I just love, you know, I had a bunch of youngsters come up with me to the Copper Belt on the Congo border. And there was a big meeting there, man. We had a lot of people there. And I was just getting ready to get up on the podium and a riot broke out. Some guy had stolen some guy's cell phone. Well, there was about 1,000 guys on this side and about 800 that side fighting each other. And this side, they were waiting for prayer. And in the middle, they were waiting for the gospel message. Can you see the scenario? There's just dust and frogs and things flying, boy, that everywhere. So these youngsters came around me and they said, Uncle Fergus, are we going to come back tomorrow? And so I said, no. I got the team and I said, go and sing another song. So they started singing. I said, sing another song. They started singing. And everybody punched everybody out. The cops came. Got up there and I said, right, let's stop it. And as I started to preach, a peace came over that meeting. And the power of the Spirit fell. So activity. See, we serve a living God, man. You know, Angus and I, for a background, we came out of the Presbys. You know the Presbyterians? You know the Frozen Chosen? It was us. That's what we were. I'm not knocking in the Presbys. I love them. And just remember something, folks. There's two brothers that preach the gospel in this country or wherever they send us. And one of them, there's a short little guy like this. He's quite old and he lives on a farm. And the other one's a golf pro, good-looking, tall guy like me. Now, don't repeat that, Aaron. If you do, it'll be him and me again boxing. Okay. I love my brother. He's doing a great job. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. It's only by faith today what we're going to do. What we did last night, the night before, and the night before. If you go further down to verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Lots of pastors quote that, including myself. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. But let's read on and see what He does. Let's see what He says here. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. There's a pandemic in Johannesburg and this whole country for that matter with breast cancer. I think last night, how many did we pray for, guys? I can't remember. Breast cancer. You see, the devil's got the world. We know that. And we're out there working in the world to get them into the church. But he's coming into the church now. And he's coming in with insidious sicknesses and diseases. And that is where the Lord showed me last year, and Carl, we better just get in. Not that you guys don't pray. Not that you pastors don't pray for the sick. I know that. I mean, I'm not. Maybe there's a greater anointing here than on me. I don't know. But there's something about people coming together expecting something. That's what it is. It's just something different. You know, in Potchefstroom Rugby Stadium, I don't scare easy. And I got up and I said, right, and we prayed and preached, and then I said, right, now I want people who come forward with cancer, like I'm going to do just now. Well, from the halfway line to the goalposts, 15, 18 deep, cancer. And I stood at the top, and Carl was there, Andrew was there, and I stood there and I thought, yeah, Lord, what do I do now? There must have been 700 people standing. That was just cancer. It hadn't started yet. I hate cancer. I hate cancer. It's from the devil. I'm a cancer survivor. That is why when I speak now, you're going to know where I'm coming from. I don't preach from other people's books or other people's experiences. I preach what Jesus has done for me. We can sit and reason over a scripture, Vincent, like we do when we have our breakfast, Tony. Nobody can argue with my testament. Because you know why? I'm telling you what he did for me. And that's bottom line. Aaron, you got a great testimony. Jesus did for you. I can't argue with that. That's what I want to talk about briefly before we start to pray for the sick. We're believing for mighty things here today. We're believing for miracles today. We're here to encourage the body today. Let's go forward just a little bit. Let's go to James, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, we all know that, right? But let me explain something to you in there that you don't know or maybe haven't seen. Is anyone among you sick? Who's sick here today? Yeah, that's why you're here. Fine. That's great. Because you're not going to walk out sick. Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, this is the word of God. So, this is the word of God. You can quote me here. He doesn't say, call for the oncologist, or the gynecologist, or the professors, or the blood specialists. He says, call the elders. Luke was a doctor. He didn't say, call Luke. That's interesting. Why didn't he say doctors? Because we have a doctor. We have a doctor. He goes on to say here, let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. He will be forgiven. Call the elders. Fraser and I were having a good laugh before I came up. And he said to me, there's a young man that's wise beyond his years, you know that? Not what I'm going to tell you now. He says, Dad, you know why they're called practitioners? So I said, no. He says, because they practice on people. any doctors here? Are there any doctors here? Cool. Because they normally get up and walk out about now. They do, Aaron. They get up and walk out. Who's heard of John G. Lake? He said, when a surgeon opens up a person, he's got more chance of finding that problem than David Livingstone had of finding the Nile. Hey, that was a radical man. Where do we put our faith? 15 years ago, I'm not going to make the long testimony. It's going to be the shorter version. My first preach ever in Central Africa. I'm out there. Nice crowd. You know, just come out of the frozen chosen lot. 30 minutes. That was me, pastor. Finished. So I'm standing there. I got a lot of people there. The pastor looks at me and he says, are you finished? I said, yeah, I'm finished. He says, are you finished? Now, in those days, I still had a bit of red hair left. I said, I told you, I'm finished. So he says, pastor, you can't be, man. He says, there's people here that have walked 2 days to hear this word. There's people that have come here with their lunch boxes to sit under the trees to be fed by the word of God. Our average sermons are 2.5 hours up there that we preach. Because people want the Word of God. They are hungry. They want to receive it. I'm not going to preach for 2.5 hours. Don't worry. That's my daughter over there. When I was in Germany working, one of my earthly heroes is a man called Martin Luther, the reformer. And nobody knows this, but he had two dogs. He was Dr. Martin Luther. And I was in the area where he walked and ministered. And when he was running from the Catholic Church, he went into a castle, and the Duke looked after him in Coburg. And I don't know how it happened, but they don't let anybody in, but they let me into his chapel. And it could take about 200 people, I guess, at most. And as I walked in there and I looked and I said, can I go behind, please, and just stand where this man of God stood. And on the right-hand side, there were 3 hourglasses. You know what an hourglass is for the eggs? Well, it was a 3-hour glass, 2-hour glass, and a 1-hour glass. And when this mighty man of God walked up that aisle, I can imagine those robes, because he was that big guy. Possibly somebody we need for the Springboks, but anyway, we won't go down that road. We'll just leave that. And when he got in behind the pulpit, there's a plaque there, because we speak German. And this plaque said, congregation was sitting there with fear and trembling and just watching this man of God. And you know why? They were dead scared he was going to turn the 3-hour glass over. Oh, Lord, let it just be an hour. Der Luther. So, yeah, I lived in Germany for 8 years as a golf professional. Played the senior tour and taught. It's only going to be a 2-year contract that went into 8 years. My son became a cordon bleu chef. The girls became kindergarten school teachers, speak Deutsch, all of us. And into the 8th year, I always knew I was coming back to serve the Lord, okay? Always knew that. And I thought it was going to be with my brother for the rest of our lives, but the Lord had other plans. Angus and I only worked together for 5 years. What a lovely 5 years we had. Anyway, come out of the shower one morning. Joanne's an ex-nurse. And I had a pimple behind my leg for about 5-6 months, and it started to bleed. She says, I don't like the look of that thing. I'm just going to have it looked at. So I said, yeah, okay. So old Hans Wittmann, your doctor, went to see him. Ach, he says, Ferg, something to worry about. He says, but I'm going to cut a piece out just in case. I said, yeah, I'll go for it. Back to the golf club. And 2 days later, he phones me. He says, you better come to see me. You better bring your wife. So I said, oh, okay. So Jane and I drove into the little stud we lived in, and he was white. His face was white. He said, Fergus, it's not good news. So I said, why, what's wrong? He says, you have a thing called a malignant melanoma. I said, oh, what is that thing? No, he says, that thing is going to kill you in 8 months. I said, I beg your pardon, that thing? He said, yeah. He says, I booked into Professor Hager, who I coached, number 3 in the world with cancer at that time. Went to see Torov, sat with him, got the scans out, got the x-rays out, and he says, Fergus, the tumor in your leg is massive. And we worried it spread. He said, that's why I think you better go home and put your house in order. I said, what? But I'm fine. He says, yeah. You know, the Germans are so exact. Any Germans here? Grüß dich, wie geht's? He says, because that's the time. He said, but don't worry. It's a very painless death. You'll die quickly. I said, oh, thanks. That makes me feel really good. But anyway, that really helps my confidence. So I said, what do we do, Torov? He says, well, I'm booked you into Bayreuth, and you're going to get that thing taken out. I said, I'll go along with that. And he says, we'll do some treatment. I said, fine, we'll go with that as well. Whatever you say, Torov. I taught you how to play golf. You look after me now. He spoke perfect English because he had a practice in New York and a practice in Dubai. I mean, this is a mania. Off we go. Take the thing out. 7 weeks in hospital. But now comes the point. They get the thing out after two goes. And then they come to me and they say, now listen, we're going to put you on a course of chemotherapy. I said, oh really? What's that? No, this is going to kill the melanoma. This is going to kill the cancer. Oh, lekker. It's medicine. Yeah, it's just medicine. I subsequently found out the basis of chemotherapy is mustard gas. You know what they killed the soldiers in the First World War with? That's what they put in your body. I'm not a liar. I'm a Christian now. Mind you, that doesn't count for much. But anyway, I've only been sarky. I said, does that help? Yeah, I was going to kill the men. Well, after I was so sick, I had to have 3 shots a week for 6 months. I said, if I'm going to die in 8 months, what are you worrying about? Oh, well, you know, here, Bachin, we're Muslim, that's Machin. I said, okay, all right, okay. After the 3rd shot, I started vomiting, headaches. I couldn't eat, couldn't stand up. My lungs started to close down. Couldn't walk from here to the wall. I called them in again. I said, what's going on here? What's going on here? No, no, it's killing the cancer. But what about my lungs? Oh, no, you'll be in a wheelchair if you live past 8 months. Thank God I was a reborn, spirit-filled Christian. And I said, Lord, no, this is not of you, man. This can't be of you. So I'm in a war with 6 other Germans. Half their noses are cut off, ears gone. Melanoma. Oh, that was interesting. I said to Hago when he came to see me, I said, you know, the nurses here, a lot of male nurses in Germany, by the way. You know, the first nurses were male, not ladies. They're not Florence. Or Flo came over to Germany to learn and study. Then she went to the Crimea War. First hospitals were in Deutschland. I said, these guys are so kind. They're so decent. Nothing's too much trouble for them. He says, yeah. He says, that's normal. I said, that's good. He says, because you're in Ward 14. I said, yeah, well, I know that. He says, we put people there that are going to die, so we really make them feel comfortable. I said, what, you mean? He says, yeah, you're in the ward. You're not going to come out of here. 7 weeks on my back. Joanne hadn't got over the loss of Alistair. So she was angry with God. She was no help to me. My children were too small. And I lay in that hospital. I said, Lord Jesus Christ, just forgive me. Just give me a second chance because I want to serve you. Just touch me. Lord, I'll make a covenant with you. If you heal me, I promise you, I'll resign my job. I'll pack up the club. Pack up everything. Sell the cars and I'll come home and serve you. So I went, the Lord took me to Hebrews 11:1. Faith. So I called the professors in the next day and said, guys, I'm booking myself out. They said, you what? I said, no more. Can't take any more of this stuff. Either way, they were angry. I said, listen, you must understand something. I said, somebody died for this body. Somebody paid a huge price for this body. Somebody paid such a massive cost. So this Dumkopf thinks I'm talking about another doctor in Berlin. He says, who are you going to see? I said, I'm going to Jesus Christ. He looked at me. And his exact words are, das heißt ein Geschicht. It's a joke. I said, you can call it a joke if you like, but I'm leaving. He says, all right, let's do one thing. I said, yeah. He says, let's do one more blood test. Take all the blood you like, man. So they came in and took out another big file like this, and off they went. He says, I'll see you tomorrow morning. I said, I'll be here, but don't be long, because I'm leaving. That night, the Holy Spirit came upon me in such a powerful way that he pushed me into the mattresses. He pushed me so far down. I woke up and I couldn't move. And I looked at my eyes, went left and right. I thought I had a heart attack and the doctors were working on me. Or I don't know. I couldn't move. But I had such a peace. And when it left me, I just turned over and I went to sleep. When I woke up that morning, I knew something had happened. I knew something had happened. Well, in marches the entourage. Professor, oncologist, physician, the nurses. I think the guys that did the toilets came in because they wanted to find out what was going on. And they were all, yeah, boy. Walks up. He says, yeah, Bachin. Good. Alles recht. Wir schauen jetzt. Let's have a look here. Takes out his glasses. He starts to read this thing. So he says to the oncologist, listen, I asked you for his blood test, not his. He says, sir, that's his. So he checks the name. And he goes a bit pale. He says, Mr. Buchan, we can't find any cancer in your blood. Ah. So So I said, yeah, I'm going home. He says, yeah, you better. He says, because there's no need for you to be here. Well, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, as we start to pray for the sick in a minute. Some of those doctors that put that death sentence on me are dead. And I'm preaching the gospel in the lengths and breadths of this continent we live in. By His grace and by His mercy. And I started with the scripture, Hebrews 13, chapter 13, verse 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He healed me 15 years ago. This day, this Sunday, in this hall, He's going to heal somebody today by your faith. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, by His stripes you are. Psalm 103, verse 3 says, I will forgive you your iniquities and heal all your diseases. Not some of them. There's nothing impossible for Jesus. Nothing. So I got up, went home. Joanne came with me, put the letter in. Club wasn't too happy with me. A lot of people aren't happy with me. Because when you bring this, you ruffle feathers. I don't mean to upset anybody. I didn't write this book, I just preach it. And I read the whole book. Okay, the whole book. Some parts in here that are not so nice. And people need to hear the whole book. Praise always says to me, Dad, when it's my turn to minister, he says, give it your best shot. I said, I will, son. He says, because I don't think they're going to invite you back again. Let me get in there. A cheeky oak, that son of mine. But there's always a cost to bear. My darling daughters, two blonde girls, blue eyes, they look just like me. Joe's about this big. Actually, a beautiful woman, eh? About that big. And one of my armor bearers, there's a couple sitting there. He's an ex-Ricky man. Well, Eric. He is dead scared of Joanne, like I am. When she cracks the whip, boy. Nah, she's praying for this meeting. She's not a good traveler. But I know her prayers, and I just thank her for being with me in Kenya. Because when I was lying in my cot, in a town called Katali, now Bush Camp, when I was dying of malaria 3 months ago. She was holding my hand. I had 8 pastors around me. I lost 8 kilos in 5 or 6 days. They carried me to the toilets because I had no control from top and bottom. I know, that's serious. And I was going into a coma because I lost my eyesight. Why am I telling you this? No, I'm not a hero. No. Jesus touched me. Jesus healed me. Because 2 days later, I drank some orange juice and it stayed down. And I knew I was healed. And we finished the mission. Another month in Kenya. Then we came home. Because they wanted to book a plane. They wanted to fly me out and get me down here. What are they going to do down here? The faith. It's the faith we need. It's the faith, son. Because when eternal issues come to your door, oh, I don't know, Fergus, if I believe this healing thing, and I don't know. Well, so just hang on, sir. Wait until you've got a growth on this on your face that's eating your face. You'll be the first guy up here crying for healing. There's some pastor talking to me. I said, just wait. That's why I have empathy and compassion for sick people. You know, healthy people don't have time for sick people. Do you know that? They're always looking at their watch when I do these healing meetings. Wait until one day you need prayer. Just wait. And it's Jesus Christ's will, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully now, for you to be in perfect health till He takes you home. Amen. Now, come on. Amen. You're going to die once. I know that. So am I. Thank God only once. Other people are going to die twice. But while we live in this earth, He wants us to be in perfect health. Perfect health. I want to just, we're going to start praying now. That's it. Finish speaking now. The Lord's going to take over. I want to just do something here. Pastors, just trust me. I know I'm talking to a church or maybe there's a lot of visitors. I don't know who's here. I don't know anybody here. I know Aaron and I know few folk here, and Jenny Lee somewhere around there. My daughter's down there. My son's there. My spiritual daughter and son, grandson. But I want to just clear the playing fields so that the Holy Spirit can really move. Okay? I want us to do two things. Hey, man, we had thousands standing in Watcher Street. I want us to stand and recommit our lives to Jesus. Or maybe somebody hasn't publicly ever given their lives to Jesus. That's a great opportunity. John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Simple. Yes, I know he healed sinners. But it just makes it so much easier for us to operate with the Holy Spirit. So all I want to do is ask you to stand up and say a prayer with me. And then we're going straight into ministry. Those that want to do that with me, that's it. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Let's just stand. Thank you. Oh, I love an obedient church, man. Obedient people. Wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for every person that's standing for you now, that's here with great expectation, Lord. I thank you, Father God. So I want to lift your hand, one hand, lift both hands, I don't know, whatever you want to do. And I just want you to repeat out of your mouth as I lead you in a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, this day I recommit my life, or I give my life to you. I believe you died and rose again. I'm washed in your precious blood. And by faith, my sins are forgiven. I will serve no other gods this day but you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for receiving me in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Give him a yes. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. The babies, they're fine. But I just want us to be absolutely still now. The Holy Spirit for me normally comes from my right, your left. Normally moves this way. This Moraleta Park, it was like a gray haze came into that church. Watch your stream, the wind blew. Let's just be quiet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your love for us. You loved us so much according to John 3:16. You gave your only begotten Son. For you so loved the world. And you said, whoever believes on him will not perish but have everlasting life. Please be seated. Please be seated. People who are battling with cancer, I'd like you to come up slowly. Come up. Come and stand with me. I want to pray for you and lay my hands on you. Yeah, it might be a son and a daughter. You can come and stand in proxy. It's also fine. I want you just to come and stand up here by faith. That's it. That's it. Amen. There's lots of room here. Don't worry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. We got time. We got time. Not rushing this today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, by faith. By faith. By faith. Remember what I said earlier, brothers and sisters, saints, listen to me. I don't even go for a checkup anymore, okay? Nothing. I might die of a heart attack or get beaten up like I was in Katali, the mob that went wild, they hit me with sticks. But I'm not going to die of cancer, because that's gone. That's what's going to happen today with you guys. That's what's going to happen today, man. That's what's going to happen today, man. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And I'm just going to say one thing, and I'm going to start laying hands on people, according to the book of Mark. Chapter 16, verse 18. You will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. I'm not telling any person here to go off medication. Okay? Have you got that? I'm not Afrikaans speaking, so I'll say it slowly again in English. I'm not telling anybody to go off medication. All I'm telling you is what I did. It's what I did. I took the word of God and I believed it and appropriated it unto my body. Stock a line. And he healed me. So when you receive your healings today, remember, he's healing you so that you can glorify him. Okay? You're not going to go, yes, we can run a marathon if you want to. You can ride your bicycles, whatever. But the main reason you're going to be touched and healed today is that you can glorify his name. You can come and stand up in this church in a week's time or wherever church you come from and say, Pastor, just give me that microphone, please, because I just have to tell people my blood counts have just gone like this. And the cancer's going like this. And testify. Encourage the brothers. Tell them that it's about faith and Jesus Christ. Come on, man. This is real stuff. This is what Jesus Christ came primarily to do, two things. Only the pastors will agree with me. He came to save the lost and heal the sick. Right. And then all the other things came in place. The clothing and the foods and all that. That's fine. But I'm called to do these two things. I have one more day left in this town. Tomorrow morning I'll go home. Now's your time. I'm going to make other calls just now. Don't think, oh, geez, that disease is just too embarrassing. No, 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 no. Nothing is embarrassing for Jesus. Because he knows you. He knows your DNA better than the FBI. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He put you together. Prayed for a guy that was blind in the strand. He wheeled somebody out. Am I right? Tony said, I don't believe that. Well, he did believe it. But I mean, this guy just got up in his eyes. It's just, why? He had faith, didn't he? I'm not going to be surprised when somebody gets healed. Why should I be? That's why I'm here. Pastor, that's why I'm here. It's not going to shock me. Oh, look at the healed. No, because I'm expecting it. I don't expect anything less. God is not a liar. He will not be mocked. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. It's impossible for him to lie. So if he says, lay your hands on the sick and they will recover, that's exactly what we're going to do now. It's exactly what we're going to do now. And you will recover because I recovered. Who am I? I'm nothing. That's my girl. Smile that you have there. You can have it for a long time. We're just going to move. I'm going to move as the Lord leads me. Pastors, come. Come and help us. Come and stand with us, man. Come lay your hands on your people. You're absolutely welcome. I'm going to move around as the Holy Spirit leads me, okay? But before they go, I'll do it. I'll pray with a lot of them. They've all been anointed, Andrew. All been anointed. It just signifies the Holy Spirit. There's no power there. The power's coming now. Now the power's coming. Are you standing in proxy, young man, or have you got cancer? Who's it for? Keep praying. Just go. When Jesus touches you, there's no mastectomies, there's no disfiguration, there's no pain. I'm so sick of people, and I know many, with children that have had serious cancer problems, and the mom and dads have had to sell the house, they've had to sell their car, the mom has to go to work to pay for the medication. The child is cut up in pieces, and then 3 weeks later, the doctor comes back and says, take your child home because he's going to die. I call them last resorters because that's when they come to people like me. They've bankrupted that family, they've disfigured that child. And he dies. When Jesus Christ touches any one of you today, as he is doing now, he just touches you. And he takes that thing right away. A lady had a massive tumor in her breast cancer a couple of years back, and we prayed for her. The thing shrunk like a marble. She went into the doctor's surgery, and he just took the scalpel, didn't even give her a painkiller, and he just touched her there, and the thing fell out. That's the Jesus we serve. There's no pain. There's no suffering. But there was an awful cost that was paid. A place called Calvary, where he went and took our sins and our diseases, and he hung there. And he bled to death. And that's the blood that we're pleading over everyone here, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. By his blood we overcame him. Yes. I want you just to stand together. We speak about cancers. We speak about insidious illnesses. But Jesus Christ put a man and woman together for a reason. I can't work with that, Joanne, man. Even though she's not with me a lot of the times, man. Last year I didn't see her for nearly 5 months. My marriage is so strong. Rock solid, man. Sharon's rock solid. That's what I want for you guys. Jesus hates divorce, and so do I. And I just see a mess the families are in this country. There's unforgiveness. Hardening of the heart. Somebody can't say, sorry, it wasn't my fault. Well, I've forgiven a lot of people, and it wasn't my fault. Jesus died for each one of us, and it wasn't his fault. As you hold hands and as you stand together, you put your arms around your dear wife or your dear husband. Get close. I'm going to ask my son here to pray for you because it's on his heart. He's going to Australia. One of the callings is for family.
Oh Lord Jesus, we come before you, Father. Like Uncle Fergus said, Lord, what you put together, may no man separate, Father. But Lord, we have to do our share, Lord. And Father, I just see too many husbands that can't pray in front of their wives, Father. Too many wives that are too ashamed to pray in front of their husbands, Father. We don't pray with our children, Lord. Lord, and I want to pray a blessing over every single couple that's standing up here today, Father. Lord, that when they wake up in the morning, the first thing they will do is to call their families together, Lord, and to pray in your name a blessing over their families, Father. Father, they will announce in your name every problem that they have and pray over it together, Father, as families. We need to take control, Lord, in your mighty name of our homes, Father. There's no more time, Lord, to be ashamed of Jesus. Husbands, take your wives' hands in the mornings and in the evenings. And if you have any problems, you pray together, and it will leave. Stand up for Jesus. He died for you. Father, it's such a privilege, Lord, to have a wife. It's such a privilege, Lord, to have a child that you gave us, Lord. And we will live in faith, Father. And we will serve you as families, Lord. Not one by one, but as couples and as families. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters, if you've been prayed for here, just be seated. We're closing now. There's just two things I want to just pray for, and then I'll hand back to the pastors. Yeah. There's something that's on my heart, and it's a tough one. It's a hard one. Probably find it's a friend of yours, young boy or young girl, I don't know. Homosexuals. Doesn't sit with me. Oh, it's getting quiet now. I personally love the homosexual, but I hate the sin. Why do I hate the sin? Because if that person doesn't repent and change, that person's going to hell. Why? Because that's what it says in the book of Revelation. I don't want anybody going to hell. That must be the most dreadful place in the world. And yet the world is rampant. The world is trying to justify the sickness that's coming upon our children and young people. And I know this town in particular is rampant. Moreleta Park, I asked any doctors here, but there was a doctor. He came to hear what rubbish I was going to speak. The Holy Spirit touched him, and I was preaching down that end of the hall. And he came down this end of the hall and got slain in the Spirit. But before he got slain in the Spirit, he said he wants to receive Jesus, but he's a homosexual. When he came out and stood up, he shouted out, "I have been healed. I'm a man again." You see, I don't believe this rubbish. I can't. I'm born like this. No ways, man. And then in Potchefstroom, just before I pray, I was finishing. 12:30 at night. Started at 7 o'clock at night. I was starting to slur. I was so tired. I couldn't speak anymore. And this lovely lady walked up to me. She says, "Pastor, pray for me." I said, "What do you want me to pray for?" She says, "I'm a lesbian." Now, there's a catch coming here. I said, "Yeah, pray for you." And I anointed her. She was slain in the Spirit. And when she stood up, she just started to weep and rejoice. And as I stood in front of this woman, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Now put your arms around her." And I'm one of the old school men, you know, one of those old, used to be a tough thing. Lord, no, man, I can't do this. You notice when I pray for ladies, tumors in the breast, I don't touch ladies. I give them a hug. I'm dead to all women except Joanne. I said, "Lord, I'm not doing that." He says, "Fergus." So I put my arms around this girl. And she started to weep. And she said, "It's the first time I've had a man's arms around me in years. And it feels so good." Thank God I was obedient, eh? So I'm not saying, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit's told me to pray for. I'm going to pray for it now. And if you know somebody that's in that situation, lesbian or homosexual, I want you just to stand where you are. Not come forward, just stand. That you're standing in proxy, that person is going to be delivered. Yeah, they're nice people. They're normal people. Well, they're not normal people, but they're nice people. But they're going to hell. That's the whole... Yeah. I want to thank every one of you for your obedience. I had no idea this thing was that serious. I'm not judging any person. I'm not condemning. It's not my job. It belongs to Jesus, and it's by His word. He loves you so much, He's not even going to judge you. He says, "By my word you are judged." So I'm not judging a person. You know, I'm just so touched, pastors, by your church, for the obedience and open honesty. Sheesh. I want you to, I'm going to pray over you. I'm praying a corporate prayer, obviously. Please, just promise me one thing, man. Just promise me one thing, if you can. If you can, you know, 1 Samuel 15:22 says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay, girls, that's what he says. If you would go, it might be a son, it might be a daughter, it might be your best friend. Okay? Tomorrow morning, Even if you make a phone call, sir, put your hand up for me, talking to you. No, behind. Do it. Okay, sir. Phone that person. Go and see that person. It's even better. And say, you know, there was a grumpy, that's what my, where is he? Where's Andrew? He calls me a grumpy old evangelist. Came and preached. But he brought the truth. And the truth will set you free. I can't imagine anything worse than hell, man. I don't care if it's fire or coals or boilers. It's just to be separated from Jesus will kill me. I think that's hell. You know that? Actually, that's what you agree with that. Just not having him with us. How do I get through a day with that Jesus, man? He woke me up at 4:15 this morning. I've been praying since 4:15 for this meeting. I know lots of other guys do it. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. So please, will you make that promise when I finish praying for you? Oh, well, geez, that's going to cause a... It's going to cause... Why? Let it cause a problem, man. Come and sit with me and Carl and Tony, and we've all got problems. Come and be unpopular with Aaron and me. If it's possible to be any more unpopular. Me, I'm talking about. That's why I work in the bush. I get out of here. Please, Lord. Please, Lord, as these people have had such faith to stand. It's probably even some family members that we're talking about. Yeah, hey, sir? Yeah. It's probably some family members, man. And we love them. Yeah, man. We love them, man. Yeah, we love them. Because you love them so much, you're going to phone them. In fact, better still, you're going to go and say, let's go and have a coffee. Okay. You can blame me. Uncle Fergus Buchan told us to come and sit with you. Okay? Okay. Let's lift our hands. Oh, Father God, I had no idea, Lord. No idea, Lord, that this was such a problem in this country, in this beautiful city of Cape Town. Thank you, Lord, for Christians like I'm looking at. Thank you, Father, that it's not your wish for anybody to go to the devil or go to hell. Lord, I would ask that every person that's standing in proxy, that person they're standing for, is they picture that girl or boy, man or woman, that they would come out of that filth. They would come out of that pit of hell. And Lord Jesus, they try and they try and they try and justify that's how they are. Lord Jesus Christ, even as we stand here now in proxy for many, many families in front of me, Lord Jesus, you would start moving now. But Father God, I would ask for a boldness and an authority in every person that's lifting their hands and an accountability that they would realize that from this morning, if they don't go and see that person and explain to them what happened this morning, their blood is going to be on your hands. According to the Word of God, that blood is going to be on your hands. Oh, Uncle Fergus, that's hard. No, it's not hard. It's the truth. Truth. So thank you, Father, for obedient Christians, strong Christians, real Christians, men and women that you can go into battle with. We thank you, Lord, that we do this now. In their areas, even if they save one, even if it's one, we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Wow, what a commission you people have got tomorrow. Thank you, Lord. Please be seated. I'm finishing. Thank you, Bud. Come stand with me here. Pastors, come and stand with me, please, here. Over this box here. Team, come on. I want all the team up here. Wow, look at those requests. Come, Sharon. Come, Jaycee. That's ministry. That's absolute ministry. We're going to pray over this box now. We're going to believe that every single request in here, Father God, that you're going to answer. Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at these requests, Father God, we just believe because we believe that, Father, every prayer is going to be answered in Jesus' name. Father God, thank you for hearing our prayers. Lord Jesus Christ, as you called Lazarus from the tomb, you looked up unto heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing my prayers. And we thank you today for the prayers that have been answered physically here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God, for hearing our prayers here in Jesus' name.